Hey, I'm Mike.
Hey, I'm Ethan.
I watched the first half of The Secret Agent.
I watched the second half of The Secret Agent.
And this is the other half. Bum, bum, ba-dum, bum, 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 ba-dum, bum, 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 ba-dum, bum, bum. But in Brazil.
But in Brazil, yes. We're cheering for Brazil. Brazil's having a little streak here in the Oscars, right? Last year was...
I'm still here,
and now you got Secret Agent.
Yeah, both of which are about dictatorships in Brazil. Yeah,
so it seems like the 70s, ripe time for making movies about Brazil.
Yeah. Well, also right now, just talking about what's going on in Brazil in order to maybe go like, hey, it's kind of crazy what happened, right?
Yeah, kind of crazy what happened.
Maybe be aware.
The American voting audience is like, huh?
Oh, wow, they're speaking not English.
Is this a bad bunny situation?
But yeah, it is very exciting that this is happening. I loved this movie, dude. This movie was 100% my vibe. Ethan is rolling his eyes and sighing.
I'm not rolling my eyes. I'm looking...
Disappointed?
Not disappointed. That's not the right word. Lost. Okay.
Oh yeah.
Let me be honest. Yeah.
There's so much shit going on in this movie.
Was by far the hardest movie to write down notes for.
Uh-huh.
By far, I basically had no idea what was happening until the last scene, and I kind of got a general gist of it as I went over my notes after, just to kind of be like, all right, what makes sense? What is important? I'm like, I don't fucking know.
Doesn't help that the main character has two names.
He has two names. There's multiple, like, you're going within zones. into a story.
Yeah.
Because there's one person who's like, listening to tapes, mm-hmm. and then in the tapes are like someone else telling a story through the tapes, so you see the flashback and the flashback,
yeah.
and then there's a billion different characters just are there. They're never introduced. They're just there.
Yeah.
So, it's
because
fucking,
they've already been introduced.
They've been introduced, which is like fair, but there is a lot. There's not just like a couple where I'm like, oh, it's that
person.
It's
also a long movie.
It is also a long movie. There's a lot of characters. New characters get introduced in my half, which actually was nice because I'm like, okay, please focus on these guys. But anyone who's like, I'm so excited for the other half, The Secret Agent podcast, I am so sorry. I'm going to try my best, and maybe Mike will help.
I will do as best as I can because I loved this movie so much. I also watched, I don't usually do this, but I did do it for this movie. It was on VOD. So I watched the first half of the movie twice.
Oh, okay.
Once just to enjoy, and then the second half to write notes. I haven't done that in a very long time.
Yeah, you used to always do that. Yeah,
I used to always do it, and then I got busy.
Time happened,
Time happened, I got too busy. But for this movie, I was like, I rewrote my notes, I rewatched the movie.
Oh, wow. Okay, maybe you will bridge the gap that I'm
missing. I'm hoping so. Because here's the thing. I loved this movie so much. This might be, other than One Battle After Another and like Sinners, this might be like my favorite of any of them.
Because... That's the thing is I feel bad because I didn't like hate the movie. I wasn't like, this is shit. I just don't think
you were confused.
I was just confused.
Yeah.
And I just feel bad
because
about
you watched
that.
The second half.
I watched
of
the second
movie.
Half of the movie. So it's hard to really be like, what is this relevant to? Who is this character?
Yeah.
Why is this guy's name changing all the time? Oh, he's looking for notes.
And also
okay.
The whole thing's in Portuguese.
Yes. The whole thing's in Portuguese, which by the way, as someone who is learning Spanish actively, Portuguese fucks me up, man.
Yes, it does, because it's like Spanish
like,
and French.
Yeah, it's a weird, it feels like listening to Spanish backwards, and you want them to like turn it the other way and be like you're listening to a recording of Spanish backwards.
So,
but there's certain words you pick up, and I'm like, fucking, like most of the numbers are exactly the same.
I'm
just like, what the fuck is happening? This is like hurting my brain. I can't like fully
get the worst watch. I
honestly was. I couldn't fully like get into reading the subtitles. I wound so many times being like, okay, what the fuck is they saying?
Because you understood for a bit and then he stopped talking.
Or like a word or two, and it would throw me off because my brain's like, listen, it's words you could understand.
No,
you can't.
Man, this is like watching a movie on hard mode for Ethan. This is crazy.
It was probably the hardest watch. Like,
guys,
can we just
give like a moment of silence for Ethan? He had to watch a good movie, the second half of a good movie, in a different language that he somewhat knows.
But I wish I had... No, I don't. I don't know Portuguese
at all.
Well,
you know Spanish quite a bit,
Yeah, but Portuguese is so much
It is
different.
A completely different
it's
thing.
It's a completely different language.
Yeah.
But, it was... I honestly was just shocked by how hard this was to really follow.
Yeah, understandable.
I was like, I just felt bad watching it because I was just like, I'm not grasping any of this. And I feel bad because I know so many people love this movie.
Yeah.
And I've heard it's really good.
Myself included.
Yes, well, you also saw the first half. You got a nice, warm introduction to the movie. How, you know, it's intended to be watched.
Well, it's funny because even in the first half, certain things, it's very cleverly written where shit will like, it almost kind of reminds me a little bit of like Better Call Saul, where like stuff will be introduced but not explained. and then you have to sort of keep watching, and then eventually they'll like, explain the thing. That
I did feel better because I did like glance at a review that said like it's this movie's a little hard to understand.
Yeah.
So I'm
you
like,
were like, yeah, it is.
And I'm like, at least normal people watching it normally might have trouble understanding it.
Yeah.
So I feel a little better about not completely getting it.
Even as someone who saw the first half twice, watching it the second time, you are it's not like it's bad filmmaking. It's I think it's purposefully mysterious. Like, you know, the title of films.
Yeah, so you get interested and you kind of are like, I want to know more. Please give me more information.
Exactly.
Totally. I understand that.
Yeah.
But for our little experimental podcast that we've now produced over 500 episodes was
it's hard.
Absolutely one of the hardest ones.
Oh, man.
Absolutely.
Well, you know what? This is one of my favorite things to do, particularly when I'm in the driver's seat here, because I get to establish all the characters, the setting, the time, and I get to see Ethan's little face light up with recognition.
That's what I'm scared of. Yeah. I don't know if I can. Because
I think it will.
There's so many characters that are just going to appear. So I saw the last half.
Yeah.
So the credits.
Sure.
They show pictures of all the people, and I'm like, who the fuck are all these people? There's so many people in here.
There are.
Because there's new people that show up, and I'm like, because you do a thing where it's like, here's like three people, right? And here's their little actor names under each of them, right? And they show the person walking around or whatever. And it is, I swear, like 3 minutes long of just showing
people,
actors and their names. I'm just like, there's so many people in this movie.
There are a lot of characters, because it's also one of my favorite things about this movie. Again, I don't know anything about like Brazilian like cinema.
Yeah.
It feels like it's just like full of character actors. Like everyone in this movie, they walk onto the camera on film, and I'm just instantly like, I know your entire life story just by looking at
you. Is there an old lady?
Yes. Donna is incredible. She is smoke. She's 77 years old.
Yeah.
She walked on. I watched the first half of the movie with my wife for the first time, and Donna walked on camera, and I was just like, I love this woman. I will die for this.
She
woman.
Has like the perfect character actor where you're just like,
seriously, like, she just walks on stage. You know who she is. You know everything about her life.
Yep.
Donna's amazing.
Okay, let's go. Say some names.
I don't know if I know the guy's name. Marcelo's boss.
Marcelo's boss.
He has like a mustache and gray hair.
Is he a cop guy?
No. You're talking about Euclid, who's the worst.
Yeah, Euclid.
I hated Euclid.
Yeah, Euclid's a bad guy.
Euclid's a bad guy, but I love the guy who plays him because he is.
Yeah, no, he's perfect at
he
it.
Knows. He knows how bad. Like, this was.
He looks like Mario without a mustache.
Yeah. I could not fucking.
Verging on Wario status. Like, he's at any moment he could go, wah!
Yeah.
Any moment.
And anytime he's on camera, I can't help but, like, he's got a similar thing to, like, oh my God, the James Cagney, where, like, he is villainous and, like, scary. But you laugh at him. Like, he's so fucking funny. Everything he does is hysterical.
Yeah.
No, I'm talking about the guy who works at the identification dock service. He's like gray hair and a mustache, and he's like kind of like a bad posture.
Is he not like related to Armand at all?
No,
he's just a different guy. Who's the guy who's related to Armand?
I didn't know it.
There's no guy. There's like his father-in-law or something.
Oh, that guy rocks. He works at the movie theater.
Yeah, the movie theater. Guy. Yeah, you're right. He works at the movie theater. I don't see this old mustache guy. I don't think.
That's fine.
Maybe
it's cool.
But they go back to the or what is it? The identification.
The identification
place.
Place. Yeah, identification dock. Dock service.
Yes.
They
go there.
He works there. There's
a
lady with glasses.
I see the lady with glasses.
That lady rocks. Like, she feels like a Maya Rudolph character. Like, the way, like, her posture is and, like, how serious she takes her work.
Yeah.
I love her. There's another woman there who just likes gabbing. I love that lady. Like, every character in this movie to me, I love the two hitmen. Like, the young guy and the old man. Like, everybody in this movie has, like, a look. I love them.
Yeah.
So they
have a look. So hopefully we can just go off their looks and their vibes.
Good thing you're not watching the first half of the movie. Because I'd be like, so what does he look like? You're like, he's got hair.
It's long.
It's got long hair.
Wait till you see the movie. I got a funny thing.
This
funny
will be
thing.
Funny. So the movie opens with a little montage of old black and white photos of happy times in Brazil.
Yeah,
over
like,
an old radio broadcast.
Just like... I'm Still Here, where it's like happy times. Happy times.
That's right. Remember when things were great?
Mm-hmm.
And then we open on the main character, who at the moment is referred to as Marcelo, arriving at a gas station.
Okay.
And a little title card pops up and it says, our story takes place in 1977 in very mischievous times.
Mischievous. And that's a great word.
Immediately I'm like, I'm fucking hooked. What does that fucking mean? So he's in a little yellow Volkswagen Beetle, and he drives up to get some gas, and the camera sort of like following the Beetle, and then it lands on the Beetle parking in the gas station, and then just like the bare feet of a corpse like under a cardboard.
Okay.
Like someone, and eventually we learn from the guy running the gas station that this man was shot dead for trying to steal from the gas station, and the cops and paramedics are no one shown up because right now his time is like the carnival time.
Oh yeah,
so they're all too busy partying and they don't want to deal with this carnival like, dead time's party.
Crazy over there. Apparently, people just die all the time in the '70s in a carnival, and they're like, that's a great way to cover up anything.
Yes,
it's like almost like the unofficial purge. Where it's like, you can just kill anyone, and it's like, well, that's just carnival.
That's just a carnival.
Yeah. I'm like, holy shit.
Yeah, and Euclid will boast about it.
Yeah.
So the guy working at the gas station comes out, and he starts, like, filling him up, and he's, like, a cool guy. Also, I love how many, like, men in this movie do their job with, like, an open shirt just showing their gut off. Imagine showing up to work, and you just are wearing a shirt, and you didn't button it up, and your gut is just hanging out. Truly living the dream.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It was a different time.
So he's like washing the car and he's filling it up. And he's talking about how that, the corpse has been there for an entire week and cops haven't done anything. And there's flies everywhere.
Seems like a bad time.
Not a great time. And as Marcello is about to leave, the cops do arrive, but they are not there for the body. They haven't even heard about the body. In fact, they're just looking around for like nice cars to interrogate and intimidate the drivers. And they see this cool yellow Volkswagen. And the guy who shows up, he's got like blood on his clothing, and he like intimidates Marcello, and he like goes in the car and he like investigates it. He can't find anything. He even checks to see if the fire extinguisher inside of the car is expired, and it's not. And so
is that illegal?
It is illegal.
That's crazy. I didn't even know a fire extinguisher is like. Like, you could get fined for not having
one. Oh, are you asking if it's illegal to... I thought you were asking if it was legal to enter someone's car.
Oh, yeah, no,
I'm
thinking, like, is that, like, a ticketable offense that, like,
maybe back in the day.
That's crazy.
But, he pulls out the fire extinguisher. It's not expired, so he's got nothing to pin this guy on. So he gets out of the car, and then he's like, well, do you want to donate to the police?
Oh, God.
And I just, like, I'm like, this is so fucking funny. Like, this is amazing. And Marcel's like, I got no fucking money. I paid for gas. I'll give you my cigarettes. And he gives him his pack of cigarettes. And the cop's like, I can keep these. And he's like, yeah, sure. And then the cop's like, thanks. And then as all this is happening, a car, like a family in a car, go up to like get some gas. And they all see the corpse laying out in front of the gas station. And everyone in the car just starts screaming. Like children.
I mean,
everybody.
I do like that because it's like, okay, this isn't normal.
No.
Okay.
No, it's awful.
Yeah.
The fact that it's only normal to the guy working at the gas station because he's had a beer on this fucking corpse for a week, you know?
That's just the corpse. I can't touch it.
It's so... He's like, not my fucking job, and he's right. Everyone screams as it drives by. And so Marcello leaves, and we see an old photo of him inside of the car. It's a photo of him and his dead wife. And the photo is him with, like, long hair and stuff, which might come into play later.
No, that's coming to play later.
But the photo...
His wife's dead?
Yeah. Well, he says that she's dead.
I mean, she probably is. Yeah. I just didn't know.
Okay.
The timeline's crazy. I don't know where we're going.
Yeah. He's driving. Mm-hmm. Long montage of him driving, opening credits.
Mike's making driving hands, by
There's some guy dressed up for the carnival that just, like, jumps onto Marcello's car trying to scare him, and the camera just, like, holds up this guy.
Okay.
And it gets to Marcello, and he's just like, what the fuck is that guy doing? And they just, like, zoom in on the guy with the costume, and he's just like...
Okay.
It was so good. So Marcello finally arrives in town. Part one, A Boy's Nightmare.
Boy's Nightmare.
Yeah, first part. And immediately when I saw, you know me, the minute I saw like a little chapter card, I'm like, oh, baby, we're in for a good time.
Mike, you love a chapter card.
I love a chapter card and a late title card. Yeah. I need them all.
Need some cards in my movie. I'm not going to be excited.
Yeah, that's the trump card if you put one of those in there. So we then get a long, this amazing long take of like a car just like driving up. And you see these guys get out, and they're all, like, dressed poorly, and one guy is, like, covered in confetti, and he's, like, got, like, kisses on his face, like makeup on his face, like lipstick. Mm-hmm. And immediately, the way it's, like, shot and the way that they seem imposing, I immediate thought was, like, oh, these guys are, like, gangsters or something. Like, they're checking out their territory.
Yeah.
Because it's, like, this one guy and then, like, two younger guys, like, following the guy. Uh-huh. I'm like, oh, that's, like, probably, like, the Don or something, you know? No, that's Euclid.
Oh.
Yeah. And he's come from the carnival. That's why he's covered in fucking, like, kisses confetti and kisses and shit.
Okay.
And it's like, and then he goes up and he greets his like, at first I thought they were just, like, his other officers. They're his sons.
Oh. What do they look like?
There's a black guy and a white guy.
Oh.
Those are his sons.
Interesting.
And they just go like, "Hi, father." And at first I was like, "Oh, he's like a member of the church." It's kind of funny that he went to the carnival. No, that's his dad. That's their dad.
That's crazy.
So yeah, Euclid.
What's the white guy look like? Does he have long hair?
No, he's got like glasses and short hair. He kind of looks like Frank Oz a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah. And then there's a cool like black guy that look is like the top of him is shaped like a chip where he's just got like big shoulders and a tiny little waist. Yeah. But yeah, they all call him father. They look up to him. This is Officer Euclid. They kiss his hand. And
the fact that they're both two different ethnicities shows that this guy's been around, right?
Yes.
Like this guy's
a pig. Euclid's a pig. Also, this is such a great scene because yeah, it's like obviously he's a pig. The guy shows up to a fucking like what we eventually learn is he's showing up to like essentially the finding of like a corpse,
mm-hmm.
and he's like covered in kisses. His shirt's a mess. He's covered in confetti. Doesn't even worry about his appearance at all. You know. So then. They're talking. He's talking to his sons, who's like taking him in. And one of his sons says, "We think it's the guy from last week," which means that they might have been behind the corpse that they're about to see.
Oh.
And then the Euclid asks, "Is it the right or the left?" And one of the sons goes like, "It's hard to tell." And I'm like, what does that mean, right or left? What do you think this means? And this is what I love about the way this movie's written.
Is it
what
their
does
hand?
That possibly mean?
Huh? Is his hand gone or something?
Close.
Foot gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, leg. Leg's
the leg.
Gone.
Why?
Because there's a serial killer out.
There's a fucking shark.
A shark? Like a literal shark?
An actual shark. They walk into a like a classroom and a bunch of like professors and students, and sitting on the table is a dead shark, and inside of the shark is just a human leg.
Oh, this is interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so
okay.
They think like, oh, this is probably one of the guys we like threw into the dam and got eaten by a shark, and then the shark washed up on the beach.
Interesting.
Yeah. And so they're like acting like they care. There's one guy that they don't like, another police officer who's like really in art or whatever. He like draws or whatever. I don't know what his name is. Is that coming to play?
I see that guy.
So the man's leg is in the stomach of the stomach of the shark. He was found Sunday, which I noticed is the same exact day as the guy who died at the gas station. Because mm-hmm. the guy who died at the gas station also died previous Sunday. Coroners arrive, which is hysterical. So these old
Wait,
men...
so this is a completely different body. This isn't the gas station.
No,
body.
This is a completely different guy.
Okay.
Because that guy died like in the middle of the desert. There's no water.
Yeah, that's why I was confused. Yeah. I was like, how did a shark get to him and spit him out over there?
No,
okay.
Completely different guy.
So this guy just washed up on his body washed up.
His body washed up inside of the shark, yes.
How did it wash up inside of the shark? You mean it's like...
The shark ate the leg and is inside of the belly of the shark. The shark then washed up and...
But they just found his leg.
Yeah. No. The leg is inside of the belly.
Yeah. But where's his body? His body washed up separately, right?
They don't know where his body is.
They just found the leg. Got it. Thank you.
Yeah, it's fine. I did a bad job explaining
that. No, it's okay.
I was just getting excited about a very funny scene when the coroners arrive with like a little like table to carry the body on.
Uh-huh.
And it's these two old men. They look like they're out of like a Tim and Eric sketch. And one of them just like pulls out a switchblade because he's going to like cut the shark open. And the professor, this older like woman, gets in front of the guy. He's like, don't do that. You're going to like destroy the shark and the evidence. And she's not even working for the police. And this old man is just like, come on. I know how to do it. And he just starts like, he's going to cut the shark. And then the old lady's like, no, I'll take care of it. And the old man just looks so disappointed that he didn't get to cut into a shark with his switchblade today. And I'm like, that's what I'm talking about. Such great acting. This man is not in any other scene. I just love this guy showing up with a stretcher, like he's gonna take a leg out on a stretcher.
That's very funny.
It's incredible. So the old lady like pulls out the leg, and she says that the shark is male. I don't know if that has anything to do with anything. Marcello arrives at Donna's to pick up Donna. She's an old lady who's offered to offered him a room and a job.
Okay.
We also meet a boy named Clavi. Is that his name? Clavi?
I'm looking through my notes here.
I don't know. It's this cool kid. He's like a little kid, like a 16-year-old kid that ran away from home because his uncle and his dad thought that he wasn't a proper man.
I don't think I've seen
him. All right, that's fair. So he's just like helping a little old Donna around. Donna's 77 years old.
Oh, I think he's in like a scene, but...
Not a big deal. Yeah. But it's just... What I love about it is like he's a cool character, but also Donna is like... She's like, yeah, his... dad and his uncle wanted him to be a real man, but they don't know what real men are. And he's a man, right? Right? You're a man. And he's like, yeah, I'm a man. And I'm like, oh, I love you, Donna. I'll go to fucking bat for you, Donna. She's so cool. She's been smoking since she was for 60 years.
Still kicking.
Love her.
Yeah.
Harold is there. He's the one with like kind of like fucked up teeth and a cast. Does this guy come to play at all?
I don't know.
All right.
Maybe. I don't think so.
Whatever. Donna complains that the party, like carnival, has been going on for too long and it's too loud. We meet some of the people living in the complex, including Claudia and her daughter Deborah.
Claudia is from England. No,
she is. She is a dentist and a professor, and she's been sleeping. She's gonna eventually start.
Oh,
sleeping.
Oh yes,
with,
yes. Okay, I know Claudia. Okay.
Marcello.
I'm thinking someone else. Yes,
not a problem. Yeah. And she's also divorced. And fucking Donna wants to set them up, and it's adorable. So this is a big apartment complex that used to the apartment that Marcello is going to live in used to be her niece's, and she's been living in this apartment complex for 20 years, managing for 20 years as a cat with two faces.
Okay, I saw that and I was like, what the fuck is happening? The cat with two faces.
I knew that was going to come up later.
I mean, it doesn't do anything. It's just there. And I'm just like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Donna gives Marcello some money.
You know what? The Train Dreams had the cow with two faces as well.
Oh, yeah, that's right. What's up with two faces?
Two faces this year. I don't know. It's almost like maybe politics or something is
maybe
going at play.
I don't know what it is. Donna gives Marcello some money and a job. She's happy to help him. So there already seems to be some kind of, she says this behind like closed doors and whispers. So we know that there's something going on. Like Donna knows that Marcello might be a secret agent? I don't know. Marcello listens to music and smokes and looks at old photos of him and his wife. We then meet a boy named Fernanda, who's drawing posters of Jaws. He's obsessed with the movie Jaws, even though the posters are giving him nightmares. Hmm. His grandpa watches him, like watches after him, takes care of him, which we eventually learn is Marcello's wife's dad. I don't know what his name is, but he's the one that works at the movie theater.
That's his dad.
That's Marcello's wife's dad. That's his father-in-law.
Okay, got it.
Fatima, I think, is
okay. Got
yeah,
it.
But Marcello's wife. Mm-hmm. So that's Fatima's dad.
And
she's
just a guy,
huh?
And Fernanda's just a kid, right?
He's just a little boy. Well, that's Marcello's son.
Okay, got it. Just making sure. Okay, yeah. Cool. I'm on the same page.
Okay, good. Oh yes, I also need to help you as well.
Yes,
this
so
is
I'm
going to
ask a lot of questions like that.
Keep doing it. Okay. So Fernanda is like drawing pictures of Jaws, and Grandpa's like, if you watch the movie Live Nightmares, this boy is Marcello's son. Marcello arrives. He hugs the family. It's his wife's parents, and they ask if he should be here, and they clearly want no more pain for the family, but they love him. So mm-hmm. It's this really beautiful moment where they're like, are you going to do any more harm? And Marcello's like, I'm here for my son. And they're like, we love that for you. Come on in. Take your son.
Okay.
Spend some time with him. It's beautiful. Fernanda and...
family.
I love it. You know, this is just more like family than we ever see in Fast and Furious. Did you know they're probably not going to make any more of those?
Really?
Yeah, apparently, like, the last one did so poorly that there's, like, no...
How did it do poorly? I thought it did good in the box office. That's
apparently
crazy.
It didn't. Don't look that up right now.
I'm looking up right now.
Okay.
Mike, you've given me distressing news.
Ethan, if you look that up right now, you're not going to be able to listen to the story of the movie that you don't know anything about. So you really have to decide between figuring out whether or not you want to know what the financial return on the Fast and the Furious movie was, or being able to piece together what movie you just saw.
It says it's going to come out in 2028, confirm Vin Diesel. Don't you tell this to me. Don't you try to get me off track.
Do you think Vin Diesel would lie?
Never. He's family. We would never lie. They're going to make it happen.
2028? Whatever. Anyway, so Fernanda and Marcello talk about the shark and with the leg in it. And Fernanda's like, I saw it on the radio. And Marcello's like, you can't see things on the radio. And then Fernanda's like, hey, when's mom coming back? And Marcello's like, she's not coming back. And Fernanda's like, why? And he's like, she's fucking.
Mike, the budget of Fast X was $378 million. You brought this up to yourself.
I shouldn't have brought this up.
$378 million. And the box office was $714 million, made basically double, if not a little more,
than
what it was. So I think it was a box office success.
Okay.
Mike.
I'm sorry.
So I think they're going
to
make another one.
I said this out of relief for myself that I didn't have to watch any more of them.
You kind of like Fast X.
I did kind of like the last one. What a surprise that apparently was not the most successful one in the bunch.
Yeah, it might have not. Maybe the profit margin wasn't as high.
Yeah,
they were
hoping for more. Either way, so two men drive a car and dump a body in a dam. One of them was called Lieutenant, but I realized later on, I think what happened was they were driving the car of a lieutenant, and that's who was in, like, the bag.
Oh, okay.
So these are, like, hitmen. So the hitman's, like, one guy, short dude with, like, his old man with a mustache.
Yep.
And there's a young guy with a great, with great cake.
Great cake. Okay, but he's got, like, short hair, right?
Yeah, he's short got short guy. Hair, and he's got a big old butt.
I must have missed that part. I was too busy trying to grasp the plot, not the butt.
That's fair. That's fair. You should have been grasping the butt.
I guess I'll check. I mean, what you're saying makes me want to watch this movie again. So maybe I'll keep an eye out for that.
And I feel like there's something going on between the two of them. I don't know what it is, but there's. I think there is, man. I don't know. I think there might be. Because
there is something going on between them.
Oh, yeah.
But you'll find out.
Because the young guy's always like, what about that woman? You know, I don't know what he's talking about. So I assume it's going to be brought up later. But he's like, what about that old lady at the end? What's going on with that older lady? The old man is like, inheritance and envy, he says. And I don't know what that means. This young guy's like, who's that old woman to you? I don't know what that means. Young man cleans the trunk of the car. There's blood everywhere. And then I realize these two are hitmen. And they arrive at a business called Garotti, which is like a computer business.
Okay.
Okay.
It's like a Fry's. Got it.
Like a Fry's, but a big Fry's.
Fry's are big, dude.
No, what I mean is like this is like Fry's headquarters.
Oh, okay.
They didn't just like walk into a computer store. Okay. This is like
this is not a computer store, computer business.
Yes.
Okay, this is like an IBM.
And working there, I eventually learned later, is Enrique Castro. He's like a bald man with white like hair and glasses.
Sure.
And he's got two like underlings under him, one of which is sort of like a pudgy looking dude who's always writing and looks very bored. Does any of this come to play? Basically, that guy works for the computer business. He like owns a computer business.
Enrique Castro. Okay. Yeah.
Enrique Castro. He's sort of like an older bald man.
I don't think I have a Castro.
And he's got glasses. And most importantly, there's two important things about this guy. Ethan, look at me. Two important things about this guy. Okay?
Yeah.
One, he's putting the hit out on Marcelo.
Okay.
And two, Marcelo and Enrique know each other, and they both hate each other's fucking guts. Does this come into play at all?
I thought, okay, is his name... What's his... No, but...
What's his name? Am I going to...
Because there is a guy who hates his guts.
Is he bald?
It's called... It's an old man, right? With glasses?
Yeah.
Giorcia is what
that
I got.
That might be his
head.
Last name.
Okay. Then, yeah, that's the same guy.
Yeah.
I think his last name was Castro.
No, his middle name's Castro.
Oh.
I didn't write down his last name because it was too complicated.
That's the thing is they kept saying that. So I was like,
yeah,
which I want to just call him Gnocchi. But, you know, that's insensitive. So his name's like Casino or something.
Yeah. Casino.
Whatever. Giorcia.
Enrique. Enrique. Okay. Right? What's his name? Enrique?
Fuck, I don't know, man.
Enrique.
All right.
So,
yes. Okay. I know him. He's
so
got a large
guy
with him. One of them's his son.
That's right. The pudgy guy. That's his son,
pudgy
I think.
Guy, yeah.
And I love him. I love this guy because he's like, I hate this man so much. And they do this like big dramatic. Like there's a similar scene later in the movie where Marcelo is talking about how much he hates Enrique. But they do Enrique first. And Enrique's like, I want you to shoot a hole in his mouth. And I'm like, there's already a hole in his mouth.
That's make it bigger.
Mouth. And so they do that, and they hard cut to Marcelo, and his mouth is open.
Uh-huh.
And, before that, we see him giving, like, a photo. We see Enrique giving a photo to the hitman, and we see that it's young Marcelo.
Right?
Two hitman.
Okay, got it. Okay.
And the hitman are like, give us 60,000. And the guy's like, I'll give you 40. And they're like, no, we're not negotiating, fucker. And he's 60, like, all right, 16 is murder this man.
Interesting. Good thing you wrote that down.
Why?
Comes into play kind of later.
Well, there you go. So we cut to Marcelo getting dentistry done after being threatened to make a hole in his mouth. But really, he's just fooling around with Claudia, who's a dentist. So she's like laying on top of him and, you know, he's got his shirt off and they're in bed. And he's also talking about like, oh, yeah, I live here. Apparently Donna's niece used to live here and then she moved away. And then Claudia's like, no, Donna's niece was murdered by her husband. And Marcelo's like, wait, really? Who'd you hear that from? And she's like, Donna told me. And then we're like, what? Donna told me this. And then she's like, Donna tells people lies
whatever,
all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. She just likes to keep things interesting. I think we, a man named Vladimir.
That's
going to
be you when you're older. You're
100%. That's why I love Donna. I'm like, I hope that I'm like this woman.
Yep.
Like just helping people out, you know, like being cantankerous. Yeah, yep. I love this old lady. lying. We meet Vladimir. He's delivering groceries. He's sort of got like long curly hair, like not long, but like it's almost down to his shoulders. He's also part of the revolutionary group that helps Marcelo trying to
he's
escape.
He's probably there in the group scene that I didn't quite get. There's just a lot of people there.
He's working directly with Elsa later on.
Okay,
whatever. So he's helping deliver groceries because he lives...
Mike is doing so much scrolling on his phone. There's so many different things going on.
There's a lot of different names here to keep track of. Cut to... All right, so up until now, I'm like, okay, I think I've got the hang of this movie.
I feel like you illuminated a lot for me.
I'm not going to say I lost track. I'm just more like this movie... With all the marketing, I'd seen the trailers a couple times, watching the up until now, I'm like, I think I know where this movie's going. And then Donna just sort of like walks off and then she starts talking. And then all of a sudden we hear like narration and then we hard cut and we see an iPhone. And I'm like, what the fuck? Why is an iPhone doing this movie takes place
just
in 77?
Like Nickel Boys. Just like Nickel Boys.
Yes! We're like, it's exactly what the fuck? Like Nickel Boys. Yeah. And then there's just these ladies with like tapes from the 70s and like for late 70s. And they're just listening to them. And I think are they just like writing, like trying to piece together like history?
Them.
Yeah, they're transcribing them.
Which is weird because I'm like, well, do you get AI to do that? But I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe not in Brazil. Probably,
maybe they got to make sure it's like accurate.
Yeah, because the audio quality is terrible.
Yeah.
One of them is listening to a recording of Donna and I'm like, what the fuck is going on now? Instantly. I was like, I'm jazzed.
Mike legitimately leans in when movies get interesting. It's very funny.
Ethan has seen movies with me in theaters. It's true.
When something happens, he legitimately like leans forward. It's so funny. It's very cute.
Oh, thank you, Ethan.
Well, you do the other thing where it's like, the movie's cringe. You will face palm.
Ethan and past guest of the show, Kiko Bang Ricardo. Watched Iron Lung in a movie theater together. I was in between the two of them, and I kept facepalming whenever Markiplier said anything. Yeah. And Ricardo's like, "Man, you ruined the movie for me. You should have sat next to Ethan." Ethan was
laughing
the
whole time.
He wasn't even bothering. Yeah, I noticed.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, I did. I saw you take it right before the movie.
No, I took it at home.
Oh, did you take it at home?
I don't know what I was eating.
You're snacking at something. You're snacking on something.
Oh,
I
had cheese.
I saw you take a little baggie, and I'm like, he's fucking taking an edible right now.
I just kept eating them. Going crazy, dude.
You finished them, and then I was like,
I finished all my cheese edibles.
You finished all the Cheez-Its. There's still some popcorn left over, and I can tell you were hungry. And I'm like, you want more of my popcorn? You're like, yeah, bro.
And then we got more popcorn on the way out.
Yeah, that's right. We did.
Great night.
It was a great night, except for the movie. Either way, part two, identification document services. It's early morning. Euclid is reading a newspaper. Now, this is one of my favorite bits in the whole movie. I feel like it transcends language. We see a cop, clearly a dirty cop, who has control over the city and the bad goings on of things. Yeah. And he's reading the newspaper and he's laughing to himself. He's laughing. His son is next to him, sure, but like no one's around. And he's laughing to himself as he's reading the newspaper. And he says, I don't know why I read this. I already know what's going on.
He's feeding it to the newspaper people.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Everything in the newspaper is shit that he already knows because he's the one dictating the news to them.
And he's
saying it openly. Like, it's so fucking funny. Like, it's the because it's real. Like, it's the realest shit. Like, corrupt people just like take joy in their corruption.
Yeah.
I love it. This guy that plays Euclid is incredible. Yeah. And then he starts laughing because he sees the photo of the man that is dead, that was eaten by the shark. And he's just like,
it's crazy. He just published that shit too.
Yeah. And he just like zeroes in on the leg and he's like, yeah, look at his leg. It's great. And next to that is an ad for The Omen, the movie The Omen. Does that come into play at all in your half of the movie?
No, except maybe it's a bad omen for what happened to this guy.
That's what I suspect. Also, later on, there's the movie theater scene. Marcelo's first day at work. He's told to show up at 5 a.m.
What's his work? He works at the...
He just works at like the identification document service.
So he actually works there. He's not just hanging out.
No, okay. He works there. That's the job that Donna gave him.
Got it.
He meets his boss... Anisius, he's the guy with the white hair and the mustache.
Okay.
And he's like, I was told to arrive here at 5. And the guy's like, yeah, we were all told to arrive here at 5. So it seems like this isn't like a common thing, but they're here like 2 hours before it opens. Okay. So they all get in. I wrote down this guy. I love him. He's so weird and quirky. There's this one point where Marcelo's like, hey, like, am I going to do a good job here? And he's like, as long as you know what you're doing. And he's like, well, what am I supposed to do? And then he just sort of like looks at him for like half a second for like a beat. And then he just goes like, And he's just like, finger guns him, finger and he walks off. And it's like Kramer walked into the movie. Wow. It's incredible. It's incredible. And he goes up in front of all of his crew, all the people that he works on, that works under him. And he's like, hey, everyone, act like it's a regular work day.
Okay.
And it's weird, right? Because, you know, we saw Euclid out there. Like, it's weird that Euclid is just standing around here. This isn't a police station. It's just the identification dock
service. But he hangs out there for some
reason. Why was he hanging out there? So this building is apparently being used as an interrogation room for a rich woman who is suspected of killing a child. So her maid, I guess, she told her maid to go out and get food for her. The maid went out and got food. The maid's child ran out in the middle of the street and a bus hit the child. And this woman didn't like help the child or anything. And so they're bringing this woman in, this rich woman in, to interrogate her.
But they're picking this specific area because it's a good interrogation room.
No, because it's close to where the woman lives. So it's not as far of a drive for her.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yep. And so they're bringing her in just for that and making these people show up early just so they can act as if it's business as usual. But they're also bringing the press in to take photos of her and stuff. The woman.
Oh, the kitty's here. Oh, the kitty's here. Pumpkin makes an appearance.
You
Pumpkin, what do you, what do you, what Secret Agent
Secret
stuff
Agent?
Have you gotten into?
Did you enjoy the movie Secret Agent?
There's no sound picking up. Oh, but don't worry. We know in spirit what
you
she
don't
said.
Have to put that in. anyway.
I'm going to.
Okay, great. So... they're bringing her in to be interrogated. His coworkers sit around. They look bored. Ethan's getting ready.
So no, that... I'm gonna, because I know she loves my backpack with all my audio equipment, so I'm going to close it up and put it down on the ground so she can play with it.
I was going to say, you're closing it up first, though, because you know that she'd get
in. Yeah, she might get in there. I mean, you know, she's probably fine with the wires, but you never know.
You never know. So his coworkers all sit around bored. The press arrived to take photos of the interrogation. The woman uses, there's a woman there that I mentioned is sort of like a Maya Rudolph character with the glasses. Mm-hmm. She uses the typewriter without paper, and Marcella's like, what are you doing? And she's like, I'm doing what I was told.
She's a ghostwriter.
She's a ghostwriter. Yeah. I love that. And then she like looks over at Marcello and then she puts some paper in and writes. She says, are you married and or do you enjoy the company of women? She's like hitting on him.
Very, very progressive, though, to ask that. Like, yeah. The company of women.
I wrote down she's amazing. Every character in this movie is amazing.
Yeah.
Euclid comes over to Marcello. Marcello's just trying like to look like innocent. He's not trying to like bring anybody to him. So he's like picking up the newspaper and reading the front page, and the front page says 98 or 97 suspected dead at the carnival. Then Euclid comes over and sits down on the desk that Marcello's working at. He sits down on the desk and he goes, yeah, more than 100.
There's actually more.
Yeah. And he's like, what? And he goes, I bet you there's more than 100 people dead. And he's like, what? And he goes, I know, I would know, I'm the chief of police.
Oh my god.
He's trying to impress a complete stranger that he knows how many people died at the carnival and that it's more than in the like newspaper.
I know the true number.
It's so fucking funny to me. And then he's like, Marcello, are you like a cop? He keeps inquiring if Marcello's like a police officer. And Marcello's like, no, I'm not. He keeps asking that over and over again. He's like, that sounds like something a police officer would say. And Marcello's like, I'm not a police officer. And then Euclid is like, oh, yeah, all this trouble, this woman coming in. He's like, yeah, children are always trouble. Like implying that the kid dying was like the kid's fault, like blaming the kid for being run over by a truck. I love Euclid is such a transparently evil person, and I love it. Marcello's boss shows him the archive room. There's a security guard having sex with a sex worker in there, and the boss just goes like, again?
Just the shenanigans around here.
I love it. So then the boss is like, yeah, I worked at these archives for 7 years. He wants to show off how much he knows about the archives. So he's like, Marcellus, give me a name. I'll find out who you're talking about. And Marcello's like, all right, well, my mom's name is like this. And then he's like, mom names are hard. Give me your dad's name.
Mom names are hard? That's really funny.
It's so good. So he gives him the dad's name and he finds it immediately. His boss says that he's like walking down the hallway with Marcello. And he's like, hey, I just want to let you know I'm here to help you. And I work for Elsa.
Elsa?
Yeah.
Let it go.
Let it go.
Let it go.
Let it go. The secret Frozen.
Secret Frozen, yes.
So the mother of the dead child gets there and she starts screaming at the woman in question. Euclid asks Marcello. So this scene, okay, this scene is actually my favorite scene in the entire movie. So we cut to Marcello and he's on a phone. Now the phone is in like every movie poster here. We all know that Marcello is going to talk on some phone in a phone booth and he's on the phone. And then Euclid comes up to Marcello on the phone and Euclid's like, hey, Marcello, you want to go see something cool? Marcello's like, I'm trying to make a phone call here. And Euclid's like, come on, man. It's just across the street. I take everyone there. And Marcello's, and it's like Euclid and his sons are with him. And Marcello's like, I'm kind of busy, right? I'm trying to make a phone call. It's kind of an important phone call. Can this wait? And then like one of Euclid's sons like, come on, man. Don't. When he says this, like, my father likes you. You're lucky, he says.
Wow.
And then Marcello's like, I could, okay. Like, I don't want to really, he's like, cause like Big Marcello is like, if you are in some kind of like jam, like in a dictatorship, like Brazil, you kind of have to just like follow the rules. Yep. Even if you don't, like, that's why he let the guy like search his like beetle or whatever.
Just do what you can. I mean, especially with someone with all that power, if you're in their bad side, it's over for
exactly.
you.
Exactly. And it's lucky. He's lucky that this guy likes him so much, but it's weird. He's also kind of unlucky. This guy likes him so much.
Yeah.
Cause he's trying to impress him. So where do you think he's going to take him?
This fucking dead body somewhere. And he's like, this is cool, huh?
That's pretty great.
Yeah. You're
actually, it's funny. Cause when I saw this, he also says like, I take everyone there. I even take like husbands there. Like he's implying, I thought he was like going to take me like a strip club or like sex workers. No, you're actually way closer. So we then hard cut and we see the late great Udo Kier, the great German actor Udo Kier, and he's a tailor and he's tailoring this guy's suit and he's having so much fun. And you know, he's like singing and he's singing a little song.
Is it the movie theater?
No. He's a tailor.
Oh, okay.
He's just tailoring this guy's suit and he's having the best time. And he's just like, I like to tailor, and he's singing a little German song. And he's like throwing out the measurements to like his like two, you know, his two assistants. And then all of a sudden Euclid shows up and Udo Kier hears him coming up and he's just like, ah, and he like gets up and he runs into his office and he closes the door. And then Euclid's like, where's my friend? Where's Udo Kier? I don't know what his name is, but we're just going to say it's Udo Kier. And then, you know, his assistants are like, oh, he's busy right now. He's really tired. And Udo Kier's in his office and he's like, tell him to go away. So Euclid comes in and he walks into the office.
This
he's like,
weird.
This is the best part of the whole movie, and you have no fucking clue where it's about to go.
Oh, man.
So Euclid walks in with his sons and Marcello, and they all walk into Udo Kier's office, and Udo Kier looks, one, angry, and two, exhausted. Like, he's had to deal with this before. Because remember, Marcello was about to make a very important call, and Euclid's like, hey, you want to go across the street? I want to show you something.
Oh, my God.
So he takes him to Udo Kier's place, and he's in his office, and Udo Kier is like, go away. I don't want you around. And also, by the way, on like the desk or whatever, like next to him, you see a menorah.
Okay.
So we know that Udo Kier is like Jewish, or the character is. And so Euclid's like, come on, show us. And Udo Kier's like, what? I don't want to do that. And then this is like the best, like kick the cat, save the cat moment. Because like Marcello's like, he doesn't want to show us whatever you're trying to show us.
Yeah.
And then, but Euclid and his sons are like,
show it.
So finally Udo Kier gets this like really solid look at his face and he like lifts his leg up and his legs are just covered in fucking scars and bruises and like cuts.
He's from the Holocaust.
Yes. And then his assistant comes in, who also speaks German, even though I think he's like from Brazil. He like speaks German. He's like, he says, Udo Kier says to his assistant, I am doing this for us. And his assistant says, he will never understand. And they come back to Euclid, and Euclid's like, this guy lived through the war. He could tell stories. He's no fucking idea what he's talking about. He just sees this guy who went through World War II and is German and covered in scars. And then Udo Kier's like, you want to see more? And he opens his shirt up, and his chest is just so fucked up. And it's like, because the other thing is, like, it's obviously, like, the Holocaust, but, like, was he, like, experimented on? Like, we don't know any, was it, like, is this, like, warfare? He says that he, like, is from, like, Belgium. Like, we have no fucking idea, like, the history. I don't want to know the history. I just, it's so funny to see Euclid just like eating this up and just imagining him and his son.
He's like a little play toy. He's like, ooh, yeah. Check out this cool thing I found. This guy who's clearly been through some shit.
Yes.
Has some stories. Not going to actually ask about the stories very much. He's just is like, look at the evidence of it.
Yes. And yeah. And Marcelo's just like watching this in horror. And then Udo Kier's like, get out, you monsters. And I'm sure Udo Kier never shows up in the rest of the movie.
I don't think so.
Yeah. And then we just come back and Marcelo's back on the phone. And I just love imagining, like, Marcelo's on the phone. Udo, like, Euclid and his sons are walking down the street. And they see him on the phone. And Euclid's like, I really want to impress this guy. Let's take him across the street and look at Udo Kier, the man covered in scars from the Holocaust.
Over here. Is that crazy?
Yeah, it's like, that's fucking bananas.
Okay.
So anyway, we get some Marcelo.
Anyway, after that detour.
That's my favorite scene in the whole movie. Marcelo's talking on the phone. And he's talking to this guy named Joan. Or Jono or something. He's like a guy with glasses, and he kind of looks like a Brazilian David Byrne. He's got like short hair and glasses, and he works in an office. He's very paranoid. Do you see this man?
I don't. Maybe. I don't think so.
So he calls this guy, this paranoid guy, and the guy on the other end is like, hey, I think his name's Joan. And he says, he's like, I can only talk in a secure line. And he's like, hang up, and then tell me what number to call you at, and I'll call you. And he hangs up the phone, and Marcelo's on the other line. He's like, how am I supposed to tell you what number to call if I hang up? You know?
Very true.
So he goes to like a telegram service, and he telegrams the guy. The phone number, yeah. Which also doesn't seem all that secure, like any more secure than like a phone call would be, but I don't know. And his assistant opens up the telegram, and he gives it to his boss, John or Joan or whatever. And he's like, did you read it? And the assistant's like, no, I just opened it. And he's like, well, why'd you open it if you didn't read it? Like, that's how paranoid he is. He's the paranoid of his own assistant reading his mail. Hitman, land in an airplane. That's pretty much all we get in that one scene. Marcelo goes to a theater. This is where he's going to be staying, waiting for the phone call and meeting up with some people, apparently.
Yeah.
The movie theater is run by his father-in-law. Mm-hmm. They are showing The Omen. One of the women in the movie theater is escorted out because she is being possessed by the film, which was a real thing because The Omen's about like devil worship that. Marcelo goes upstairs to the projection booth, he's like, did I get any phone calls? And his father-in-law goes, no, but he got this note, and he gives him like a little piece of paper, and he looks at the paper and he opens it up, and it just says, have a good day, Dad. And it's his son's like handwriting. He's like, okay, cool. So he puts it away. And he like goes down and he watches like the movies taking place, and there's some lady giving a blowjob in the theater.
There's a lot of random sex in the background.
There is. They're real in my half, yeah. And then his father-in-law is like, they're going to show Jaws here. I'm going to show it to your son. And he's like, don't show it to my son. I won't allow that. Marcelo's father-in-law asks him if he ever cheated on his wife. He's like, you ever cheat on? Yeah.
That's crazy.
And he's like, he doesn't really answer. He's kind of cagey about it. And then a phone call happens. It's the guy. And he reports that Marcelo's name is on a federal police list and he cannot travel. He cannot leave Brazil.
Okay.
He cannot just jump on a plane with his son and leave now. That's not an option, basically. Okay. And then the guy over the phone says, Elsa is now the most important figure in this story. And then
just like Frozen.
Just like Frozen. And we cut to Elsa with Vladimir, and they are at the theater. And they talk to Marcelo. It's nighttime. Or should I say, Armando.
Ah, yes.
This is where it's revealed that he doesn't have the name Marcelo.
That's not his real name.
That's right. It's Armando. And he is being protected by a private financier who feels bad that her family is running a dictatorship. So I guess it's some kind of
high-end
rich person who is like, I feel bad for this. I'm going to protect people and try to get them out of here, basically. So that's how they're able to afford whatever they have, which is not that much. He is working at the ID service to find any evidence that his mother existed.
Got it.
But he mentions that Euclid spoke to him. This was such a great bit. He's like, Euclid is a jerk and a son of a bitch. And the worst part is he likes me. And I gotta tell you, as someone who's like an outgoing extrovert, this was the most real feeling in the world.
Oh no, this guy likes me just because of my personality.
And I hate him. And he's a bad guy, you know?
Yeah.
So Elsa and Vlad are going to make fake passports for Armando. What name did you give the man?
I put Armando.
Okay. They're going to give him a fake passport for him and his son to get out. And he's like, what did I do? I didn't do anything wrong. Like, why do I need to even get a fake passport? Elsa apologizes for the loss of Fatima, Marcelo's wife. And, you know, and...
Do you ever know how she dies?
I don't know. Okay. No. She got sick. She got really sick, apparently. Sick. Okay. Yeah. And she says, Brazil will one day pay for what happened. And then Fatima's dad's like, no, it won't. It won't pay a damn thing. And I'm like... Yeah,
damn.
For real, bro. You're absolutely fucking right.
I never even, honestly, before I'm Still Here, didn't know anything about the Brazilian dictatorship. No idea about it.
I know, me neither.
Yeah, me neither.
And now we watch two really good movies about it.
Yep.
We should watch more for the podcast. Either way, Vlad and Elsa record Marcelo on tape, asking him about Enrique Castro and how he got involved. I don't know anything about this stuff. And then... Marcelo, or sorry, you want to refer to him as Armando.
Do either one.
Stops the recording in that moment, and he says, I hate this man. And we see the man, and I recognize him from earlier.
Yeah.
And it's apparently someone that he knew back in college or whatever. And he's like, if I had to do anything, I would kill him. I would kill him with a hammer. I hate him very much. And then he goes back to recording. And then Elsa's like, okay, I'm going to stop recording. I have to go to the bathroom. And she presses the button. And then we flash forward to modern day. And we see a woman named Flavia.
Flavia,
who has picked up that Marcelo and Armando are the same person. And basically, they're just one is the fake name. And it's such a great bit. Because it's so... The scene of these two people in modern day transcribing or translating or whatever, these audio tapes... It's just like two ladies, and they're like listening to the same tapes and talking to each other.
They look like college interns, kind of. Like they don't—they don't look like super high up in their job. They're just kind of doing a simple job.
They do look super high, though.
Do they?
No. Oh. And one of them is like, one of them's like, so Armando,
you can't fuck with me. I don't know what's going on in this movie.
So he's one of them's like, Armando and Marcelo are the same person, and the other lady's like, I just heard that too. That Armando and Marcelo—they're the same person. And then the other one's like, yes. So they are the same person, Armando and Marcelo—they are the same person.
I'm so glad it's happening in your half.
And it says, and I'm like, wow, it's almost like they're explaining this to the audience. And Ethan,
because there's nothing that explains in my half. I just wrote two girls. Let's see some tapes. Cut to tape, and there's a person who needs to go to the restroom, and and then cut to Armando, who's saying, I met a guy in the past. I'm going to call him, I put multiple names. I think it's Grody? The guy who we're talking about, the bad guy.
Enrique.
I'll change all this to Enrique in my head. I'm sure it'll be fine. Grody. And I won't mess up.
Let's call it Grody, baby.
Grody? All right, Grody.
That's what you just said.
Grody.
Grody's like bad.
No, what's that shitty movie? Gotti.
Gotti. Let's do Gotti. Yeah.
Okay. So he is meeting, he likes to meet people at the airport. He meets Armand, meets him, and Gotti's like, I read your CV. I imagined you looking so much different because now he has long hair. Like, this is in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So then Gotti, yeah, man, you got such a neat, like, if your half was in my section,
because
I'm like, this is the
right
first
now.
Time it goes even deeper and deeper, right?
I know. There's so many people to have to keep track of.
So Gotti's like, have you considered working in the industry? Yeah. An industrial shower industry? I don't know what that means. The interviewer asked, like, when was that? He's like, oh, that was back in 74. Armando's working at kind of a research institute, basically, as like a professor or something. And they showed Gotti the entire building. They showed him all the cool research they were doing. They had an electric car project. Mm-hmm. They had a leather processing machine that they were very proud of. And then he's like, basically what happened the next day, he shuts the entire place down. They have a meeting. And I guess Gotti is like, they keep saying Electrobras, which I guess is the company he's working for, who like owns and gets the funding for this research place.
Right.
And he's like, you should actually, like, I know you're kind of siloed off. They have like a meeting, right? And so this is Gotti saying, you are siloed off. But in my opinion, this whole operation should go to the north. Mm. Like, you should work with everyone else in Brazil. We should make like a really cool
operation,
make it huge. And he's like, you two on your own. But, you know, it's going to be hard because you guys speak with a different accent than the north. So that's why we probably won't be able to keep all of you guys.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I'm surprised what I saw here. The leather processing is really important to the economy. Like, we got to use that. I want to make this a regional center, or this is a regional center right now. I want to make it a national one.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's like, Canada is over here buying, we bought a bunch of more prototypes from Canada, Electrobrases. And he's like, okay, what are you doing with this company? Like,
yeah.
do you, do you own the company? Or why are you making all these choices? I don't think you're in charge of everything.
Yeah.
He's like, no, no, it's fine. Don't worry about it. And then someone else from the research staff is like, hey, I'm Udana. I'm a researcher from the South. All our projects are funded from public research, so they shouldn't go privatized.
Mm-hmm.
But we're getting funding from some foreign places as well because we're just doing such good research. And Gotti replies, you should check where you're getting your funding from.
Ooh.
And then Armand in present day, 1977,
right.
says, and then Londa was the first person to work somewhere else. She was immediately gotten rid of.
Oh.
So they go back to the recording and, or no, they go back to the interview between Armand and, what was her name? Elsa?
Let it go.
It's Elsa, right?
Let it go.
Don't fuck with me. I need information.
Yeah, Elsa.
Okay, Elsa. And she's E-L-Z-A, like,
I believe.
Elsa says there are two fabrication articles that were published to attack you.
Mm.
Hopefully they will pass. And he's like, I hope they will pass. And then I wrote, random guy appears, but it's his father-in-law.
It's his father-in-law
appears. And he's like, so sit down. Let me talk to you, father-in-law. So I didn't tell my whole story in order. I was talking about kind of the whole process when I got fired. But before that meeting, where kind of that whole thing was announced that we'd be folded in,
mm-hmm.
Me, Fantima, Gotti, and his son all had dinner together. And we see a flashback.
Mm-hmm.
Fantima gets up to go to the bathroom. And Gotti kind of leans forward and is like, you know, it's kind of impressive that, like, she started as your secretary. And, like, what a beautiful woman you have. Armando's like, well, I invited you to dinner. No, sorry. Gotti says, I invited you to dinner with your wife because I'm interested in, like, the lithium battery research you're doing.
No, he's not.
And he's like, and Armand's like, it's a small breakthrough, but it's actually mine. Like, I want. And he says, you know, use all that money. That's free. But, like, I want to use that research, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm actually going to shut you all down.
Uh-oh.
Just letting you know.
Fair warning.
And I think you're a communist and you're a bad kid,
mm-hmm.
and you need to know your place. And he says, you know the map, Brazil, we're in the north, you're in the south, and it's completely different. Everyone has their own place. And that's what his son says, actually. He's like, everyone has their own place.
Mm-hmm.
And then Armand's just like, I already paid for dinner. The meeting's at 8 a.m. You can come. Your idiot son has to stay behind. And Fantima at this point comes back. She didn't actually go to the bathroom. She just kind of stood off the corner, kind of like eavesdropped on this conversation.
Right.
She comes back. She says, I got up from the table because I wanted to piss and vomit. And I didn't, but I didn't have to. It's basically what she said. I didn't have to. As soon as I got
Ethan relaying dialogue.
I didn't have to.
I needed to throw up and I needed to fucking piss in a new
That's literally
shit.
What she says, though.
But I couldn't. I didn't have to.
I didn't have to. It says I got up from the table. But she says, you treat us with the respect you demand. And Gotti says, control your woman.
No,
he says,
fucker.
You listen. I was silent the whole time. This is, or this is Fantima saying it. Listen, I was silent the whole time out of respect for your son. You should be, and then he says, you should be ashamed of the secretary as that bitch who gave birth to you. Go fuck yourself is what she says.
Ooh.
And he's like, go to hell. Everyone has their place. And then they get basically like almost an altercation. Armand almost hits him. But it doesn't.
Almost hits Gotti.
Mm. And they kind of goes back.
Chill
and
out.
Then,
they're
and
like, all
right. Elsa's a surprise. She's like, oh, this meeting still happened after the altercation. She's like, yeah. They still did the meeting.
That is surprising.
Yes. Yeah, so some lady.
That's just professionalism.
Yes. But Elsa says, like, Gotti's a criminal. He belongs in prison. He should be in real prison for treason because he's a con artist and a murderer.
Mm-hmm.
But Armand, like, two universities, like foreign universities, want you. That's great. You have a job prospects outside of Brazil. So that's great. So we're going to try to get you a passport, but it's going to take 4 days to get to you. Mm. But also,
yes, that's the other thing. A fake passport is they're trying
passport.
To get. Yeah.
But it's also been confirmed that two men have been hired to find you.
So just stay alive for 4 days and you'll be fine.
They're from Rio. And then we're introduced to them, Augustus and Bobbis, who you've seen before.
Yes, mustache man
mustache
and young boy with
and
the
young
big
boy.
Cake.
It's rumored that. They killed that Augustus killed Bobbis's mom before they started working together.
Oh,
so maybe that's what that's
maybe
what
that's what they're referring
is.
To as the old
yes.
lady.
But Bobbis is his stepson.
Oh, so they're not lovers.
They're not lovers. No.
Okay, thank
they
God.
Are related though. There's a thing behind them. It's just weird paternal stuff.
Yeah. Okay, got it. That makes a bit more sense. Because I'm like, these two don't seem like they like each other. But I was like, maybe that did good.
Maybe that's their thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe they're into that.
Yeah. But so, no, they're just somewhat related.
Yes. So these two, he says, these two hired killers start to look for me. God, he's behind it. Passport 4 days, blah, blah, blah. Kind of recapping everything.
Yeah.
And then he's like, and your son is going to stay with your father-in-law. And he's like, okay, that's fine. You could do that. I do want to get him out, but you know, I guess I can't do that this time. So we cut to his son, who's like watching Popeye cartoons. He's dancing.
Hell yeah, bro.
He's watching Popeye getting like almost attacked by a shark. Kind of scary.
I was writing down, do you see any like feet in your half of the movie, or feet or legs in part in your half of the movie?
Oh, we'll get there, Mike.
Can I, really quick, because I was making a list of feet imagery in my half of the movie.
Okay, Quentin Tarantino.
I honestly, it felt a bit like that. So the first feet we see are the dead body under the cardboard at the gas station.
Yeah.
And then immediately after we see Armando's feet when driving the car. He's like driving essentially barefoot.
Yeah, this is a pretty big reason for that.
What the fuck is going on?
Well, you also saw the shark with the leg, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, exactly. So okay. All three of those, I'm like, something's landing up.
Some of the legs. Yeah. It's quarantine. It's Quentin Tarantino's being overtaken by this director.
It's Brazilian Quentin Tarantino.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So anyway, they're going to watch a movie, and then it's Carnival, which I thought, I guess it's still happening.
A week long
thing. Yeah. So they're partying. Armand's like, fuck it. Just joins in, has a good time. And then now there's two guys walking into the morgue, and I believe now it's the police chief's son. I can't remember the guy's name right now.
Euclid. I don't know his name.
Is it Euclid?
No, Euclid is the police chief.
That guy. So okay, it's not sons. A son. It's okay. The two sons walking.
Got it.
And one of them has like something all wrapped up in like a package.
It's gotta
and
be
they
a
go
leg.
Into the morgue and they're like, okay. He's like, hey, random guy, I need to talk to you outside. And the other guy with the package.
They're apparently trying to steal the leg out of the morgue.
They steal the leg.
That's awesome.
And they replace it with a cow leg. And then they pay off the mortician. And yeah, so
I love this. I love it so much.
So then the newspaper,
you're so sly.
So newspaper runs with this whole thing about the hairy leg striking again.
Like a serial killer.
The serial killer about all these people have died, but actually it's just the police taking out political opponents.
Right. Exactly.
What it is.
Exactly.
And it's funny because the press guy's looking at it, he's like, this cartoon looks great. There's like a hairy leg like trying to attack people.
That's awesome.
And kids are clamoring for the hairy leg newspaper. They're all excited to get this. And so they're driving with Eunuch, and the sons are driving, and they said the piranhas
Euclid?
Will come.
Euclid?
Is it not Euclid?
You said Eunuch.
Oh, it's Euclid. Sorry.
You just said Eunuch.
Oh.
Like he has no dick or balls.
Oh, like Eunuch.
That's what you just said. But his name is Euclid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Close. Anyway. So they get the leg. They toss it into the side of the river. And we cut to Bob is making a call. He's calling the movie theater, which Armand's father-in-law works at.
Yes.
But yes. Another projectionist answers, and he's like, hey, is da-da-da's father-in-law there? And he's like, I can't help you with that, actually.
Oh.
We'll get to him later. But this gives Bobbis enough information that like his father-in-law works there, so they can track. At this point, I thought they were going to kill his father-in-law and like take him out. No. Because now they know where he works. So police show up, they show up to Bobbis and Augustus and they scare him.
Got it. So do they actually scare them?
A little bit. He looks a little bit, but then they also
he's
seem
a little
like
shaken.
But they also seem like they know each other.
Oh.
So Augustus and his stepson get into the back of the car. They hop in the back and you know, Euclid's in the front. He's like, let me introduce everyone to Bobbis. Bobbis, what a stupid name that is. What kind of a name is that? That's lame. Does he shoot well? He's like, yeah. And he's like,
also, yeah.
Carnival, 100 people missing. Well, let's go drive around for a bit. We got some people in the back, actually. One of them, you know, right now we're just tourists. We're not actually doing any real like police stuff. We're just having a good time during Carnival.
Mm-hmm.
One's a 157 and the other one's a 213. And they're like, what? We're like, what is that? He's like, well, 213 is a rapist and 157 is someone for armed robbery. They're just hanging out in the back. And I'm like, are they, though? Are they actually bad people?
I also realize now when Euclid came up to Armand reading the newspaper and he's like over 100, I thought he was like, the numbers aren't accurate yet. No, he's like, we're going to be making more bodies.
Yeah, maybe that's it.
That's
it
what he is.
Right.
He's like threatening that he's going to be killing more people.
The number's going to go up.
Yeah, fucking crazy.
So then we get a nice little wipe, a screen wipe to a capybara.
Yeah, there's a bunch of screen wipes in my half of the movie too. Yeah, I love it.
to a capybara squad, just snacking in the park, and then the leg washes up from earlier, and it's moving.
The leg is moving?
The leg is moving. And this seems like a park where dudes go cruising. So it's like...
What, they're banging each other?
Yes, a lot of gay dudes in the park having sex.
Just like that one episode of Riverdale.
Exactly. Yeah. Just like that, and just as explicit as Riverdale. So they're having a great time, and then some are doing a threesome, but then we see a leg get up. This severed leg start walking around.
What the fuck? How does this look?
It looks weird.
Well,
it looks like it's a special effect from the 70s.
Whoa.
Like it's all like kind of like janky. Stop motion and janky a little bit.
That sounds cool as hell.
And then we cut to a lady reading the newspaper. He's one of the neighbors, I think, from Armand. And she says, like, Pedro George, 27, went to a walk in this particular park on May 13th. With their friend Alexandra Borg, when they're unexpectedly pounced on by a shadowy figure and beaten, and they see it. We see a picture of this leg hopping around and just attacks a guy who's hanging out with another guy, and it just hits guy in the face. It just starts attacking random people. Some guy gets kicked in the balls by the leg, and there's a Wilhelm scream, and I'm like, what is the tone of this movie? Because so far it's been kind of serious.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then so maybe for you it kind of set this up to kind of
bit funny.
Because I also didn't know that like at this point the press is like ultra corrupt and they're just giving whatever the police are giving them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So they're just basically reenacting like how ridiculous this is.
Yes.
But people fall for it because it's interesting.
Yeah, exactly.
And they're even the neighbors are excited to read this because they're just like, it's so funny. Like, what a weird story. It's super popular.
Man. In America, 2025, can't imagine.
Can't imagine. Like
2026, can't imagine.
Can't imagine. No. So then Armand calls the guy watching his kid, check on him. And then he actually reveals like, hey, you guys can... Actually, he says, you can call me Armand. Or you can call, because he reveals his like real identity. To
yeah,
him,
yeah.
Basically.
Ethan was just impressed.
Well, no, because I wrote, you can call me Marsalis. And I'm like, that doesn't make any sense.
That doesn't make any
so
sense.
So maybe
yeah.
he's like, they're like, oh, you're not Marsalis.
Yeah.
But I was just fucking confused. I'm like, I don't know who this
why
fucking
is
guy
he
is.
Have multiple
why,
names?
Why is this Marsalis? Yeah. So far, I know him as Armand only, I think. It's very confusing. Other people are also there with fake names, actually, it reveals. Mm. And some people reveal their true names and like, oh, this is who I am. We're all kind of taking shelter under Donna, it sounds like. And he says, it's not easy when you're being called like a foreign name because some people are from immigrated from like England.
Yeah.
And they have to leave because of all the stuff. Armand's like, I'm in the presence of a deadly threat. Some people are trying to kill me. And that lady, the other lady, the lady you said.
Elsa?
Yeah. No.
Donna.
No, the other lady. Deborah. That Donna was trying to hook up the two.
Is her name Deborah? No, Deborah's the daughter, I think.
God.
I'll look it up.
No, it is Deborah. Oh.
No, Deborah's the daughter. Don't be a grosso. Jesus.
Deborah's the daughter. Okay. I just have Deborah written down here at some point.
Claudia.
Claudia. There you go. Claudia is there and she also admits that she's under a deadly threat.
Oh.
And then Donna's like, I don't want to hear all this. Let's play some old music. I'm like, look, cow here with two faces? And Donna says,
this has been so awful for you.
It was crazy.
It's like
I saw a leg resurrect from the dead. There's a cat with two faces. What are we doing here? Yeah. Wilhelm scream getting kicked in the dick.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This sounds amazing.
Absolutely.
This does feel a little like you talking about the second of the movie. It feels like when you're trying to like describe a dream to somebody.
It feels like a fever dream.
Yeah. And then you're like, this made sense to me in my head.
At the time. It makes sense. But then you're explaining, you're like, no, it doesn't.
Oh, this doesn't make any sense at all.
So Donna says, I don't want to see you sad. Come see me at a museum. And she has like pictures of her with her like old husband. She used to live in Italy from 1935 to 1942. She's like, I was a communist and then an anarchist afterwards, or maybe it was the other way around. I don't remember. It was a long time ago.
Liked Donna.
I know she's great. She says, I saw things with my own eyes. I will never tell you. I will take them to my grave.
Whoa.
Hopefully to Deborah, who's now sleeping on the couch, was like, I hope she grows up in a less evil Brazil. Mm. And then
this movie is like what Emilia Perez wishes it was, just like handling like
I feel like they're so different,
but no, like handling, you know, like crazy, like tone, like tone wise where
okay.
like Emilia Perez is like, take us seriously, this is an important matter, but also let's have a little bit of fun. I feel like this
it's
movie,
a little easier when it's not a musical.
That is true too.
Yes,
although if that dancing leg was like, or that kicking leg was
jumping singing
around,
and
dancing
had like a little cane with it, that'd
Peter
be great.
Stupid China.
Kick someone in the balls. Now you have a vagina.
Anyway,
multiple nightmares. So we got a cut of Armand waking up. He's having multiple nightmares of this guy getting up from what I think is the gas station. He's like waking up and his brains are hanging out.
Yes, that's what it is. That sounds so cool.
It was scary. I was just confused. And it says part 3 blood transfusion. And he's like having a cold sweat and Deborah's with him naked in bed. Mm. So clearly they hooked up.
It's not Deborah. Deborah's is her daughter. And we creep. It's Claudia.
Claudia.
Deborah.
Listen, there's so many names.
Also, Deborah does not sound like the name of a little girl. It does sound like the name of like Ray.
Claudia
Romano's.
Sounds like a younger kid.
Claudia. Yeah, all right. But I think they both sound like old ladies.
Yeah, you're not wrong. You're not wrong.
But anyway, I understand.
Deborah!
Deborah!
Well, during the 70s, that was it.
Yeah, that was peak.
That was peak kid name. So let's
see. Patricia was the name of children back in the day.
Patricia,
you know?
Yeah. Bobbis and Augustus are in a place with dudes lifting a bunch of concrete, and they see this guy named Vilmar. And they ask their friend next to him, and they say, hey, can you do the job? And he's like, yeah, but he's just the guy to do the job. He requires a lot of responsibility. And so Augustus is like, what's your price? Vilmar's like, I'll do it for 4K. And he's like, what do you use for the job? And he's like, 38. Accuracy guaranteed. And they're like, can you do 2K? And now that I know how much they're actually being charged or 60, like paying to do the hitman, they're pawning it off to someone else.
Yeah, exactly.
To someone cheaper.
Yeah. It's the old Attack the Clones thing where like a bounty hunter is going to hire another bounty hunter to take care of the job.
Exactly. Yeah. And make some money off the top. And he's like, And Bobbis comes up and is like, you carry sugar doing a shitty job. Like you should take it for 2K. Mm-hmm. You're like an animal. He's like, I don't like the way you talk to me. He's like, look, we'll make this job easy. We have information that'll help you. And he's like, I'm at 4K. And, you know, Bobbis is being an asshole about it. But Augustus is like, all right, 4K is your price. Let's do 4K. He's like, 2K in advance. They're like, all right. So they pay him 2K. And we see some guy counting money in the projector room looking at the father-in-law. And it's suspicious because the father-in-law is like, I'm going to go do something. So he walks out.
Yeah, he's being looked at. Yeah.
And Bobbis walks into the cinema.
Oh, no.
And he's like, is he here? And like the people are cleaning the cinema and they're like, oh, no, he just left. He's like, oh, too bad. So he goes and sees the, oh, my God, why can't I think of it? The name of the person who's doing the ticket taker. And the ticket taker gives him.
I don't know their name.
But they don't have a, they're not a character. It's fine. Shut up. I just didn't know the name of the position.
Yeah.
So he gives him he gives Bobbis a note with some, and Bobbis gives him some money. So he gets a little more information.
Narking ticket taker.
Narking on his dad.
Yeah.
Or dad.
How do they know to look for this guy's dad? Because maybe they know about the wife.
Yeah, I think they know about the
wife. Yeah, so they're trying to track down the wife's family.
They're basically doing a thing. And we see Vilmar trailing in the back, kind of just like watching as Bobbis gets more information. And so we see Armand. He's going through a bunch of people's names. Apparently he's looking for his mom still.
Yeah.
And he's like, I know her card was made here. Mm-hmm. And when the lady with the glasses is like, I hope you find it. Good luck. Mm-hmm. That's what made me think he was just someone who was there. And they're calling out names. Do you know why they're calling out names? Is there any explanation for that?
I mean, what do you mean they're calling out names?
Like the receptionist lady is like calling out names like the public. And
I
was like,
oh, I don't know. They do that in my half the movie too. I don't know why they're doing
that.
Yeah.
I wish I knew, but maybe that's something that was happening.
Do you think it's like
time.
Dead people? They're just calling out dead people's names? Like that person's
maybe,
dead.
I don't know.
Yeah. Can only guess.
So then the father-in-law walks in past this guard, and the killer dude also walks in past the guard, and the guard's like he asked the guard, like, is this the Institute of Identification? He's like, yep, you come on in. He's like, all right, is it open right now? Yeah. So then he's following his father-in-law, and the father-in-law meets up with Armand and he gives him a letter. He's like, oh shit. He's like, hey, he asked me to pass this on to you. I'm like, what is it? And he opens it up. It's a kid giant. Says, and of them with a shark. It's very scary. And then he says, Grandpa and Grandma are very nice, but I want to live with you. I think I'm starting to forget Mom. Come back soon.
Oh, that's so sad.
And Fernandez. Yes. He's like, and then Armand says, take my grandson. You should just take him. He's like, okay. So then father-in-law walks out of the picture, and Vilmar, I thought he was going to kill his father-in-law this whole time because I don't know what the fuck, who's trying to get killed by who. But no, he was looking for Armand. He's actually just taking the actual assassination job.
Right.
And I thought maybe he was like going to get the father-in-law killed, and then maybe they would figure it out from there that there was something else they could do. I don't know.
Right.
So then...
do you have any questions, by the way?
Do you have any questions?
Do you have any questions? You're the one that I'm most important. I feel like I've got everything figured out at this point.
Oh, yeah. You're following along?
I am.
Okay.
That's why I'm worried about you.
I think I'm okay, because this is a really cool part of the movie where... Villamar's looking at kind of the photo of the person he's supposed to kill, and he's like, huh. But he has a photo of him with long hair.
Yes.
And his beard is different.
Yes. And that's so the only difference.
So if I was an assassin, I would be fucked. I wouldn't know what to do.
You would be massively fucked.
It'd be over.
Do you recognize that it's the same person?
Yes, I recognize the same person.
Because you've seen Narcos.
Totally, yes. So he says...
That's the guy who played Pablo Escobar.
Is it?
Yeah.
I've never seen Narcos.
Oh, I thought you did see Narcos. Did we not watch it together? I guess not.
You watched Narcos?
Yeah, I watched the first season.
I never watched it with you. Oh. That was some other boyfriend.
Oh, man, what a shame. This is how I find
this
out.
This is awkward. Maybe this is how you find out. That's how I find out. How dare you. Anyway, so he's like, hey, is that guy, he asks the receptionist, hey, is that guy Armando? And she's like, no, that's Marsalis back there. Yeah. He's like, huh. Hey, Armando.
He doesn't look.
He like kind of pauses for a second. But just keeps doing his own thing. He's like, hey, Armando. He pauses again. And I think he ignored it pretty well. I think he ignored
it
pretty
off.
Well. Played it off. But this guy is, of course, a pro.
So now, me and Ethan have been watching The Traitors a lot recently.
Recently? Is this like years ago.
Traitors?
Oh, The Traitors. I thought you were going to say, for some reason, I thought The Americans. I was like, that was years ago.
I mean, that is about spies and secret agents. Yes. I was talking about Traitors. Is this traitor behavior? Being able to
absolutely.
Like,
anything's traitor behavior.
Imagine walking into a room and going like, hey, Traitors. And then nobody looks over. But you're like, is anybody acting like they don't want to look over? That's the real question.
There you go.
That's
true. You're
that's
right,
what Marcelo's right. doing right now.
He's good.
Or Armando.
You mean Villamar?
Yeah.
Yeah. That
well,
guy,
I'm talking about more Armando's trying to act like he's not a traitor.
Yes, he's trying to act like
he's
not a traitor. Yes.
Yeah.
Not sure if I didn't think he bought it, but he did. He didn't buy it, excuse me. And then let's see. So
wait, Armando's, Villamar did not buy it?
Villamar did not buy it. He goes to a phone and starts phoning it in. Armand is a little freaked out. So he walks to the back and he goes down to Euclid. And he's like, hey, you know, up here, we don't carry guns, but you guys do. Mm-hmm. We're unprotected. And this guy came in. He started harassing girls.
Oh,
you should go check it out. He's causing problems. He's like, or I can have a weapon myself. He's like, nah, we'll go do it.
Because he knows he's friends with him.
Exactly.
Oh,
so he's like,
this is very
so. Euclid comes up, and he's like,
I can see why this is so confusing for
you. I'm going to send these two guys up to help you. And it's his sons, I believe.
Yeah.
And he's like, I know you, buddy. You wouldn't come down here unless you knew it was a dangerous situation.
This is awesome, man. I love this.
So then we, Augustus is drinking a beer, being drunk on the beach, having a great time while this hitman is calling him and is like, hey, so I think I found him. Identify the guy. He's like, oh, okay. Should I go all the way? He's like, is Bob is with you? He's like, yeah. He's like, all right, get rid of him right in the nose. But by that time he gets done with a phone call, he puts down the phone and the two guys from the police department show up, the
Euclid sons.
And he's like, hey, guy with red hat, because he has a red hat on. Do you have a passport? And he's like, oh, no,
He's looking for his gun.
I don't have my passport. He pulls out his gun and shoots both of them in the face.
Holy
and they're like face
fuck.
The guy with the glasses kind of survives a little bit more and actually shoots him in the leg.
Whoa.
And
Another leg shot.
It injures his leg. And he starts hobbling away. And the killer guy actually walks out during all the chaos. Everyone starts freaking out. Armand's freaking out. All the receptionists are freaking out. During all the chaos, the guy. The red hat killer guy walks out and says, like, hey, there's a shooting back there. To the
That's awesome.
So he goes and hides in a restaurant, but like he's obviously bleeding a lot from his leg.
Right.
And Bobbis is trying to find him because he like fucking fucked up the job. He just killed two random people. Not only two random people, people that Bobbis knows.
And also people that are the sons of the chief of police.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Big bat.
Yeah.
So then.
Is this a young guy, Bobbis?
Bobbis, yes. He's a young guy. So he's trying to find him. And so we get this whole thing with him basically. Following, trying to track down this killer. The two cops their bodies, I mean, they're pretty much dead. But they're going to get to the hospital and go.
Sure. Good luck.
The dude is limping. He goes and hides in a restaurant. Bob is kind of like walks by and like kind of loses him for a second. But some other guy notices like this dude's leg is bleeding.
Mm-hmm.
And then Armand takes some files from the place and says like, and the lady's like, wait, your name isn't Marsalis, is it? He's like, no, see ya.
How does she know that?
Because that guy came in and then fucking started shooting up everyone. That guy's right. Yeah. Or something's up with that guy.
You just got started here.
Exactly. You just got started here. And yeah. So Bobbis is looking for the murder guy. Leaves a trail of blood. He's kind of following him the whole time. And he sees his blood kind of go into this, like, I don't know, like, it's not really like a strip mall, but it's kind of like an area with a bunch of shops. And he sees it go into a barber shop. Mm-hmm. And he walks, and Bobbis goes into the barber shop, and then... he does get a haircut because he gets shot in the back of the head.
Holy
because
fuck.
The guy was hiding the whole time in there and shot him and walks off and says, like an animal, and then leaves.
Holy shit.
Because he fucking hates that guy.
Yeah.
So Armand calls up and is like, hey, I need my passports now. My time here is over.
Yeah, they found my ass.
And then the barber comes by and puts candles by Bobbis's body. And the police chief finds Bobbis and he covers his head with newspaper. Mm-hmm. And they write in the paper, Southern tourist shot by barber. They don't know who it is, but they want to make it seem like they did something.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And then they're like, yep, carnival, more than 90 dead in the whole time. So yeah. They said more. So they don't know the exact number.
They don't know the exact number at this point because they know it's going to be more.
Yes. So then we cut back to modern day with Flavia, and she's like talking to her friend, the other lady who's transcribing. She's like, have her tried to like find out what's happened to these people at all? And the other lady's like, well, I tried searching online, but I couldn't find anything. And Flavia's like, well, we need to like review the newspapers, like find out what happened, like actually see kind of what was
this
back
is
in the
so
day.
Exciting. I love
and
this.
She's like, okay, well, have fun. and she's like, I really miss Armand. Like, he had a nice voice. I really liked listening to his like stories and everything. And so Flavia then goes home, gets out a newspaper, or like looks online, I think, for the newspaper. And it basically says, has a picture of Armand. He's dead. And it says, the murdered scientist was accused of corruption. Armandus, 43, shot. So he didn't make it.
Oh my God. He dies.
He dies, dude.
What a cool way to like reveal it.
I know. Like
dramatically.
Dramatically in the future.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, because you're kind of like the lady. You're like, ooh, I'm very curious about what happened to him. And then you like look up the newspaper and it's like, obviously it's corrupt because he was framed. Like they framed him as like the corrupt professor as opposed to Gotti or whatever.
There's
actually
one
actually getting his justice.
There's one bit earlier when Donna's talking and they reveal that the recording took place a year after the events of the movie, which I love because it implies that she lives.
Yeah.
Yeah. We know at least she lives after the events of the film we're about to see.
Yeah. I guess that makes sense though. I guess she wasn't really the target. She was just kind of helping.
She was
people.
Just there.
Yeah. So yeah, they consider the crime a contract hit. And then you see Flavia kind of with her husband and her kid, and the kid's like, oh, daddy. And it's like, oh, that's cute. I was wondering if they're related at all to anything, or she's just someone who's random who's just interested in this.
I think it's a situation like kind of what we're dealing with when we watch this movie and we're like,
this is a really interesting story. I want to like learn more about it.
Not only that, I think it's a situation where you're like, you're afraid of the world. You're afraid of like, if this happened in Brazil at this time, it's happening in America. you're terrified of like how this is going to affect your children. Like, what would you do in that situation? I think that's sort of like what this is supposed to imply is you know, you see the horrors of like war, you hear their voices and the horrors of like fascism, and you hear the voices of the people that it affected and their terror. And then you look at your child and you're like, well, what'd I do if I was in that situation?
That's very fair.
Yeah.
So Flavia goes to a blood bank and she says, I want to meet with Dr. Fernando. Mike put his hands on his
head.
That's
crazy. Is this Armando's son?
Flavia comes in and is like, and Dr. Fernando's like, oh, hey, nice to meet you. And she's like, he's like, you know, I would have just met you. You didn't have to be a donor. She's like, no, it's good. I should give blood. And he says, nice to meet you. It is his son.
Yeah. Yes.
And they go.
Bet there was a joke earlier on where they were like, we can't have him see Jaws. He's afraid of blood or whatever.
So well, that's a good point. Yeah, maybe there was. So they spent time. He says, did you spend time looking for your mom's medical documents about how she died? And he's like, no, I never really did that. And Flavia starts recording an interview. Basically, it has like her iPhone out and she starts recording it. And he's
be hard
she's
cut.
Like, can you talk
50,
to
50, 60 years? No,
we don't do any of that.
Aliens are listening
to it. he says, I don't know. Paternal grandma at all. She was only known as the Indian. He's like, did you ever find documents of your mom? She's like, well, I guess she was like enslaved at one point.
Jeez.
I was like, oh my God. And it's like, yeah. So all I know is that my grandma was like called the Indian and my dad was called the handsome one. And I don't know. It's, he says it's like really hard for me to talk about this. Like I just kind of
I'm trying to just like
it.
Take your blood out of you, man.
Well, this is, they're in a completely different setting. Oh, I thought they're this not, was well, no, the blood she got done. Taken. She got done okay. donating blood. And
got it.
She actually, I asked to look at her blood. She's like, oh, that's cool. And she says like, he says like, it's hard for me to talk about this, but it's also hard for me not to talk about it.
Yeah.
And he says, my mom, like she had me when she was like 14. And then Flavio says like, okay, so I want to let you know that I was paid to transcribe notes from the archive. They wanted to recover the tapes because they said they contained sensitive information. So I like took copies of all the recordings and I put on this USB drive. I really enjoyed listening to your dad's testimonials. I want to know more. And he's like, okay, well, how did you get these recordings? It's like, well, Elsa gave the recordings, to me because it was during the time when he was being hunted.
Yeah.
And so I was able to get them. And he says, oh, that's crazy. Well, Flavia, I didn't want to delve into this, but yeah, I'll help you, I guess, if that was any help. And she's like, yeah, your father's voice is here. You could take it. You could do what you want with it. And he's like, all right, well, my grandfather, Alexander, who like raised me, he's the one who really raised me. And he told me this one time when I found out that my dad died, that I chose my favorite clothes and I stood by the house every day waiting to pick me up. Oof. But to be honest, I don't remember doing that. Sometimes when someone tells someone else a story, you create the memory.
Yeah.
But I don't actually remember that day. But I have that memory despite not really remembering it. Yeah, which I think is a really interesting concept.
Yeah, 100%.
Of like how memory works. Of like if someone tells you, it's like, well, I must have did that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, honestly, I talk about him. But I don't remember him at all.
Yeah. Oh, that's so sad.
Says, you remember more of my father than I do.
Oh, my God, dude. That's depressing.
And then
because we see scenes of them being cute and happy together. And you see him trying to, like, repair his relationship.
He's too young. So he takes the USB drive. And they're walking out and leaving. He's like, honestly, I don't think you help much. She's like, don't worry, though. I took a trip to the families and you know, I wanted to see something and, you know, and Dr. Fernando says, well, you want to know some interesting, funny coincidences. When I was little, I really wanted to see the movie Jaws.
Yeah.
But the poster, like just the poster itself
scared him. Yeah.
And then my dad, quote unquote, like my grandpa, I guess, went to go take me to it. Finally, he refused for a long time.
Yes.
Which actually turns out was his dad, right, refusing. You saw on your hat.
Right, yeah, exactly.
But he's like, his dad finally took it.
His grandpa was going to take him. His grandpa's like, we're going to take him next week.
Yeah. And I watched it finally, and all my nightmares of what actually happened, like what the movie could be, disappeared. Because I finally got to see what it was.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if he's like, actually, I will have the same thing. You know, when I listen to these tapes, maybe I will learn something. Although it doesn't sound like he doesn't remember anything, so I don't know.
Yeah.
And you know where I saw it? Right here. He's like, what? She's like, what? She's like, yeah, this blood bank where it was, this is where that theater was.
Whoa.
And he says, some things really do change. And I still work here, just like my grandpa.
Whoa.
And then the music goes back in. Or no, and then the lady leaves, and we just get a close-up of his face. He just looks sad. I'm like, man, this guy's a good actor. And then it goes. The music starts playing. The movie ends. They show all the actors' names.
Yeah,
and
then pictures.
And then I realize that old Armando is the same actor as Armand.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got his ass.
We got me. I was like, this guy's a good actor. He got such a good actor for such a small bit.
You know what's so funny? In my brain, I was imagining another actor. This is probably
He has no beard. He has short gray hair.
Yeah.
Same guy.
Shit, that's so fucking so funny.
Got me.
You know what's really funny? Because like I was checking out like the names on like IMDb, and I noticed that that actor was credited as three different names, and I was like, oh, maybe there's like another identity they give him.
Yeah, right.
Nope.
It's older Fernando.
Shit, that's so fucking funny, dude.
Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing.
I would love to watch this movie again.
I loved your telling of it. Yeah. I really enjoyed the film.
I will be honest. I was scared, but it felt a lot clearer as you started putting all the pieces together.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you had memories that you did remember.
Yeah, I did. But you know what? I felt like I watched the movie.
Yeah,
maybe
exactly.
I don't need to watch the movie again. I felt like I was there. You know?
Shit, man. I love that movie. That was a really
good
movie.
I do like
movie.
That movie now more, now that I know the context.
This
it's
is
good.
What I'm talking about. People like listen to talk about our podcast, and they'll ask us, like, oh, yeah, like, did you appreciate a film after talking about it? It's one of those examples where I'm like,
yeah.
I didn't know how it was going to end. I didn't know if, how well you were going to be able to follow it. You've done a good job.
Oh,
of,
thank you. Of, best I could, anyway.
I would say you were given a very difficult, insurmountable job, and I think together we have done what the other half is all about, which is piece together one film through two desperate experiences.
It's so interesting this movie's called The Secret Agent when it's like, he wasn't really an agent. He was just kind of more of an informant,
yeah.
I guess, in a way, and just had to go and witness production. But
yeah.
It implied like something more bombastic, but there was a lot of bombastic stuff that happened to him.
Around him.
Around him.
He's not doing all that much.
Not really. He's just trying to survive. He's just trying to live his life. He didn't want any part of this.
Well, I think The Secret Agent, because I also, like, it is the same name in, like, Portuguese as well. Like, it's basically the same. But I'm wondering if there might be some kind of, like, pun where it's like, he is an agent who is secret. He's not like a 007. I know we watched a bunch of spy movies, a lot of Bond.
For that.
But, you know, I think it's more of like it needs to remain a secret because he was an agent working for a particular, like, company.
Speaking of which, one thing I did, speaking of Bond, just because the music in this movie was so fucking cool.
I love the music.
It was
in
like
this movie.
It's like a fun, playful jazz that kind of happens whenever, like, bad stuff starts happening or something weird happens. Like, there's jazz. And it's like, I don't know. I liked it a lot.
I agree.
It was good.
So that's all you wanted to bring up. The music was good.
I wanted to make sure to hit that note.
I loved it. I hit that note. I liked the music. Loved how it was shot.
Gorgeously
shot.
I love the way it's shot.
I love
so
how
good.
It's also like very particular about, I don't know if they use different film stocks or if they're using film and digital.
But all
like,
the timeline jumps, like they show very specific like tint.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or even like editing.
Yeah.
Like in the past, we have like those wipes and
shit. True.
You know?
And it shows how different films look now.
Yeah, exactly.
Very
like
modern.
It feels like it was weird. Like immediately when we cut to like modern day, I'm like, whoa, this feels really strange. Even before I knew.
It's Netflix-ized.
Yeah, exactly. Incredible. I man, hearing more about this might be up there. Might be up there.
I
really
mean,
like it.
It sounds like it might be up there. Yeah.
Yeah. You'll have to watch it.
I'll have to watch it all because I still.
You did
it feels better.
On, I think establishing the tone early on, I think, is going to help.
Yeah,
it would
have made the walking foot or walking hairy leg going and killing people a little more palatable.
Yeah, but it does a thing that I know we talked about a bit with. I mean, obviously, because it's around like a similar subject matter, but I'm Still Here does it a bit more palatably, or at least more enjoyably, where it's like both movies are not necessarily about how people get over things. They get through things.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah, I think that's true.
I think that was one of the things I know affected me about I'm Still Here is like that ending shot where it's like, look at all the people that aren't here. Look at like what like things are different, but they're not like and they are better. But like we didn't need
they're
to go
still
through all
a
that
hole.
Yeah,
all the people that are missing.
It's sort of similar thing here where you're like, well, yeah, Fernando or Fernando is that his name?
The son. Yeah,
you know, he's a doctor. He works in the same place that his grandfather worked at, but it's like he doesn't have any memory of his dad. Like
and like the whole memory of that cinema is gone now because the blood bank now.
Yeah, exactly. Although I will say, as much as I like movies. Blood banks
a little more important. Yeah, a little more important. They could have ran some blood drives at the theater. Is all I'm saying.
That's
get a free
I'm
ticket.
Saying.
Get a free ticket. Get a give some blood.
Watch Jaws come out. Get some blood.
Yeah,
you know,
be great.
That's all you need.
Feed the shark.
Feed that shark. But yeah, I like this movie a lot. Y'all, have you ever been to Brazil? I kind of want to go to Brazil now. Watching these movies.
Yeah, some Portuguese. Go on in there.
Email us at email@theotherhalfpodcast.com. Find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We're also on Discord and on Blue Sky. And if you want to listen to our previous Oscar episodes or the last one that's coming out next week, you can find them on any podcatching app. And while you're there, please leave a 5-star rating and review. We will read in the show no matter what it says, even if it is in Portuguese. We'll do the best we can.
Oh God, please don't. Please don't.
All right, Ethan says don't do it.
Don't
Good night, everybody.
I've already had enough trouble with this movie.
'd you guys like to discuss the movies that we talked about on the podcast, recommend movies for future episodes, or maybe even watch movies with us? Check out the Discord.
You can find the Discord on the latest episodes or on the website, theotherhalfpodcast.com. We're just hanging out chatting.
And while you're there, maybe also check out the second of the Discord, which is specifically for Ethan's streams on Twitch. You get updates as to when he goes live. Just keep up to date with us, with Ethan, the podcast, and the stream.
It's also totally okay if you just want to hang out out and talk about the podcast. You could hang out there and maybe we'll see you there and watch a movie or something.
Or maybe you're like, wow, these streams are so much better, and you just totally ignore the podcast. That's also another option.
That could happen.
Why not?
Why not? The Discord is your oyster. Come join us.
The Discord is your oyster. Join it.